On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about legislation on the governor's desk that would target a treatment process called step therapy. It's where insurers have you try a less expensive drug that has proven effective for most people with your condition before you can move up a step to a more expensive drug or therapy. And the legislation that passed the Assembly and Senate would allow doctors to better tailor treatment to an individual's situation. Are you a patient who has been affected by step therapy? How did that affect the treatment you received? How many medications or treatments did you have to try before you got what you needed? We're at 800-642-1234, and you can join in. Angie Tease is the State Government Relations Manager for the National Psoriasis Foundation and leader of the Wisconsin Step Therapy Coalition. That's a statewide organization representing people with chronic diseases and healthcare providers. Angie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
So last month, we saw the legislature pass bills to streamline the process of step therapy. Can you walk us through exactly what that legislation would do?
I am happy to do so. First, I like to start with an example of a patient, because I think that really impacts or, you know, gives the listeners kind of an idea of how the legislation would benefit her. So we worked with volunteers from across the state, and one in particular stands out. She's from New Lisbon, and she went to her doctor for psoriasis, and her doctor prescribed her a medication, and in working with the insurance company, they required her to go through a series of three medications before they would ultimately cover the medication that her doctor had originally prescribed. The process of stepping through those three medications took approximately 4 years. And in one case, they wanted her to travel three times a week, or it was 3 hours round trip, four times a week from New Lisbon down to La Crosse, where her dermatologist was at. And another treatment required her husband applying topical ointment throughout, you know, the majority of her skin and kind of wrapping her in saran wrap. So really difficult. She's a young mom of two kids and trying to work full time. This had a significant impact on her life. What this legislation would do, it would prioritize that relationship between the doctor and the patient. In this case, the doctor knew that the medication that he originally prescribed would work best for this person. And through this legislation, there are four kind of expedited processes. We call them exceptions, where that doctor could have applied for one of those exceptions to get an answer quickly and get her on that medication.
So explain,
in a more timely fashion.
Yeah, what are these four exceptions? What does this bill do?
Sure. So this bill says, we call them common sense guidelines, patient protections. So if you are stable on a medication and your insurance changes, you know, you change jobs, or maybe your insurance provider changes within work, you are able to stay on that medication. You don't have to go back and step through the process to get on that medication again, which was happening with some of our volunteers. The other is that if that medication that the insurance company wants you to try is contraindicated, meaning it's expected to have an adverse reaction or cause significant psychiatric harm or, again, an adverse reaction, then you don't have to take that medication either. The third is that if you've previously tried and failed the medication that the insurer wants you to try, you don't have to do that. Again, just kind of common sense. And then I'm pulling up my fourth. But essentially, they're really just...
And there's a waiting period, 24 hours, you know, and if the insurer doesn't come through in that 24-hour window, that the doctor can go ahead with that medication? Is that one of them?
Well, so what was happening is that the doctor and the patient were working together and trying to get the individual covered, and, you know, currently. And they would apply for an exemption under current protocol and try to work with the existing parameters. And sometimes patients were waiting up to 2 weeks, maybe a month, for an answer from their insurance company on whether that medication would be covered or not. So what this legislation does is it says, hey, that's a little bit too long. patients need some certainty, providers need some certainty. And so it says, it provides a window of 3 business days in non-emergency situations and up until the end of the next business day for emergency situations. If an insurer does not respond within those time points, then that individual can get that medication and it's assumed covered.
We're talking with Angie Tees, the State Government Relations Manager for the National Psoriasis Foundation and a leader of the Wisconsin Step Therapy Coalition, a statewide organization representing people with chronic diseases and healthcare providers. How would this new legislation change the treatment you receive? What kind of difference would that make in your life? And physicians, if Governor Evers signs this bill into law, how will that affect the way you're able to help your patients? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Angie, when do insurers decide to deploy this practice of step therapy?
It's really up to an insurance company, kind of what their internal protocols are. A good piece of this legislation is that it doesn't ban or prohibit the practice of step therapy. It simply says that for individuals like ours in the psoriatic community and others like in the arthritis community and the multiple sclerosis community, we have really complex and progressive and kind of quirky diseases, very highly individualized, that we need to be able to kind of access those exceptions processes. Others, you know, in the chronic space do as well. Oftentimes our communities will have be on multiple medications due to comorbidities associated with our conditions. And so the doctor really is in the best place to make that determination. That's not to say that step therapy protocols don't have a place, but what this legislation would also do is it establishes, so when an insurer is developing step therapy guidelines or protocols, they do so, they kind of cherry pick or have access to, you know, kind of the information that they choose. And it's really unclear how some of those processes are developed right now. And so this legislation says, hey, we'd like that to be transparent. We'd like the step therapy protocols to be evidence-based, based on peer-reviewed science. And if a provider or a patient says, you know, how is this developed, that they can point to the systematic way that it was developed, again, on peer-reviewed evidence-based data.
Angie, we've been talking about, psoriasis in particular. Are there a number of different treatment options for psoriasis, a number of different prescription drugs on the market that could be tried?
Well, the beautiful and kind of quirky thing about psoriasis is that we know that there are probably seven or eight medications that are kind of have a seal, and we go to as far as recommended treatment options. But again, it goes back to, Humira may work for one individual, Enbrel for another, some work, Otezla or Remicade. It really is going to depend on whether or not what that doctor and that patient kind of what their indicators are, again, pointing to the need to really elevate that provider and patient relationship and have that provider be the determining factor on the medication that the individual tries.
Well, let's take a call. Let's go to Jordan in Madison. Hi, Jordan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, just segueing on the conversation about what medication today, psoriasis for me, and I've had it for a number of years, it's really unpredictable. On the outside, of course, one could see the skin, what impact it has on the skin. And when there'll be flare-ups, and that's random, and there's who knows what's going to cause the flare-up. And then in the inside of your body, there could be a type of arthritis called psoriatic arthritis, which I do not have. But that can have a big impact, and that happens random. It comes and goes. So you're dealing with a disease that's just random. This disease impacts everybody's life part of their life, whether it be business or personal life. And what this legislation does for me, now I haven't gone, luckily for me, I didn't go through step therapy, at least not as yet. Probably because I've had it so long, I've gone through all the steps. But, you know, at the very least, no matter what doctor I choose or what insurance company I have, I'm going to have a process that's predictable for me, and that I can be assured that that's what that insurance company is going to have to deal with, instead of each insurance company dictating to me what their protocol is.
Jordan, thanks. Yeah, thank you for the call. Angie, would this bill help streamline and make the process of getting a prescription more predictable?
It absolutely should. And we know that physicians spend a lot of time on bureaucracy and completing forms and such, and that it can lead to, burnout and turnover and such. And so that was a key indicator on this, and something Senator Darling felt very strongly about. And so that is the intention, or a intention, of the legislation in addition.
More than a dozen states have laws overriding step therapy where a patient must try certain drugs first, even if their doctor disagrees. We're looking at legislation that would create exceptions to Wisconsin's step therapy protocol. Angie Tease is with the National Psoriasis Foundation, and she leads the Wisconsin Step Therapy Coalition. Your stories, your questions, they're welcome. 800-642-1234. Have you been impacted by step therapy? What happened? Or maybe you think the step therapy process is important to make sure that physicians aren't prescribing the most expensive drugs before considering alternatives. Join in the conversation. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about bipartisan legislation on step therapy. The bill on the governor's desk would require pre-authorization for expensive drugs, but there would be exemptions, and the insurer would have 24 hours to respond to emergency medication requests. If there's no response during that time, the doctor's request would automatically be approved. Don Dial of Kenosha has rheumatoid arthritis. He says initially he couldn't get the medication his physician recommended.
I'm 58 years old. The crippling effects of this step therapy decision left me feeling like I was 90.
Have you been affected by the step therapy process? What changed about your treatment process? Maybe you think the step therapy is important to make sure that physicians aren't prescribing the most expensive drugs. We're at 800-642-1234. Angie Tease heads up the Wisconsin Step Therapy Coalition. She stays with us. And let's bring in Dr. Lisa Dodson now. She is Dean of the Medical College of Wisconsin's Central Wisconsin Campus. She's also president of the Wisconsin Academy of Family Physicians. Dr. Dodson, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So how has the step therapy process affected the physicians you work with at the Academy, Wisconsin Academy of Family Physicians, and the treatment that they're able to offer their patients?
Well, it causes a great deal of frustration, and it can cause a lot of delays, both of which are harmful to both the patient, to the physician, to their staff, and overall to public health.
In what ways? I mean, can you be a little more specific on how that disrupts the patient-physician relationship?
Well, can you imagine sitting with a patient saying, you know, here's the drug that I recommend for you because I have good reason to believe that it will be the most effective. However, because of insurance company regulations, I'm going to back up two steps to a different drug, prove to them it doesn't work, and then we're going to go on to another one, and eventually we'll get to the one that I think actually will be best for you. That's a pretty damaging relationship problem between the physician and the patient, not to mention harmful to the patient in many ways.
So I understand UW Health recently said it had 50 employees whose only job was to pre-authorize medications and challenge denials by insurers. Is this pretty customary at hospitals from what you've seen?
Yeah, I think that that's been an ongoing problem, and it's not new. Certainly, this goes back as far as the 90s to sort of the first managed care era, when denials started being really becoming a problem. When you think about 50 different people in one health system who all they do is deal with denials of care, that's pretty cost ineffective. And you think what we could divert that money to be taking care of patients rather than denying them care, it probably is something that is even wider spread than just the step therapy problem, but it certainly is rampant in that area.
Let's take another call now. Kelsey joining us from Madison. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I'm also a new mom. I have an appointment with my doctor, my second appointment, and he did mention step therapy, though he didn't phrase it like that. He said that there would be a song and dance with the insurance company. The first medication they recommend is contraindicated for breastfeeding, and so he mentioned a little too casually for my liking that I would just have to stop breastfeeding. And I'm wondering, under this legislation, would that be one of the exemptions considered, breastfeeding moms and medications that are contraindicated for breastfeeding or pregnancy?
Thanks for that question, Kelsey. Dr. Dodson?
Yes, that is one of the exact types of situations. We feel that patients should not have to completely disrupt their life. When you look at the advantages of breastfeeding, if there's a medication that can promote that and continue to allow you to breastfeed, that should be a top consideration.
Let's go to Mark now in Black River Falls. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just had a quick question for my own benefit and also maybe help someone else in the future. I was given a painkiller through the VA, and I developed what was called drug-induced aseptic meningitis. It was a drug allergy to it. And the reason I'm asking this or bringing this forward is, are there ways of testing patients prior to them be giving medications?
Mark, thanks for that call. Dr. Dodson, what about allergies and what is being prescribed here?
That's an excellent question. Unfortunately, for most drugs, we don't yet have the kind of personalized medicine that will allow us to predict to that degree of specificity that someone will react badly to a drug. There are certainly, in many cases, are indications that with a good thorough history, we can determine that a drug is more likely to have adverse effects. With the coming of personalized medicine at MCW, we're working on a lot of these issues. It will literally be possible in the future to maybe predict what Mark had happened to him and avoid that entirely, and with great cost savings as well as misery for patients and certainly risk to life and health. Right now, it's probably not that specific, but a good thorough history will often pull out different elements that might predict that a certain drug is going to be better than another.
Angie Tease, what types of insurance will this legislation apply to? Is it all insurance or just private?
That's a great question. It will, as of January 1st, 2020, assuming that Governor Evers signs it in coming weeks, which we expect him to do and are hopeful that he does so, this legislation will apply to private insurance products that are regulated by the state. There is federal legislation pending in Congress that would regulate and provide these same protections to ERISA or large employer plans that are regulated by Congress.
Let's take another call now. Mary joins us from Middleton. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Okay. I am an MS patient. I am turning 55 this year. I was diagnosed 20-something years ago. And I went through this process basically because I needed to. I started with the first injectable. I tried all the injectables. I failed all of them. And then I tried an infusion for a while where the cost was so astronomical with my insurance at that time, I couldn't afford it. And then I started on one of the first medications that came out in pill form. And I've been taking this pill for 8 years, and it's amazing. It has helped so much. And I'm on my feet still, and I'm almost 55 years old, and I'm very impressed. But my concern is with this step project, with someone like me who's already gone through all these steps with medication, will they require me to do this again?
Mary, thanks for the call. Dr. Dodson, what would happen in this situation?
Well, Mary's situation is one that actually is that this bill is trying to address. The need to go back to the beginning and start on the various steps all the way back, and there are many, particularly for disease like MS, this bill should allow her doctor to actually request and receive that permission to prescribe that drug on an ongoing basis right from the get-go within 24 hours. We certainly have seen in the past where over half of patients whose drugs were denied were on nothing within 30 days because of the back and forth problems. So not only is step therapy designed to help specifically Mary so that we don't have to go back to the beginning, but also to really expedite the process when there does need to be a new approval to a very short period of time so that patients are not off of their medications for any length of time.
Angie, as we start to wrap up here, are there things that this bill does not address that aren't fully wrapped up in how we approach step therapy? Are there still pitfalls?
Honestly, this legislation is a really good start. I think as, and again, hopeful and that Governor Evers will sign the legislation and we will see it implemented beginning in January, but our intent is that all patients would be covered under step therapy. And so, again, looking at kind of the public insurance market and then additionally those insurance plans that are regulated by Congress. But honestly, this is a really good piece of legislation, and I think it points to the process by which we arrived here. It is a strong bipartisan piece of legislation. Unanimous voice votes in both the House and the Senate, and I will point to the leadership of Representative Nygren and Senator Darling and Senator Tustin and the Health Committee and Representative Sanfilippo on the Assembly side.
And we have to stop there. Angie, thank you. Together. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Angie Tease is State Government Relations Manager for the National Psoriasis Foundation. And Dr. Dodson, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Lisa Dodson is Dean of the Medical College of Wisconsin's Central Wisconsin Campus. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.